Yeah, we're talking about spiritual gifts. Come on, this is going to be the best class you have till the next class. I always get excited. This has been a fun class for me to teach. I've a couple years now teaching it, and I shared a little bit of these thoughts last week, but the idea that Jesus didn't just die and rise from the dead and return to heaven just to see his whole ministry end. It's a powerful thought. And then the connector to that is that now he actually sends his Holy Spirit into our life. We can invite the Spirit into our life to such a degree that the very same ministry that Jesus Christ was accomplishing in his life, we could see happen through our life. This is why in John 14, Jesus said, "It's better that I go away." Actually, let's read that just so we can be reminded of these words in red. Got your Bible, look at John 14. John 14. Everybody loves the part where he says, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life," right? That's a pretty famous Bible verse. But look at what he says in verse 11. Someone read that, verse 11. And we'll just read a few of these verses here. Who's got the most faith in the room? Read that. John 14, 11.
"Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, and or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Okay.
And ask me for anything in my name, and I will do."
Okay, this is pretty powerful. This is pretty powerful. He's saying that if you believe in him, you're going to do greater things than he is because he's going to the Father. How can that be? What is the greater things that he has for us? Because, you know, he says here later, this is the Holy Spirit's work. I'm trying to skip down here in verse chapter 16. Look at verse 7. 16 verse 7. Read that for us.
"But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him."
Wow. So this is powerful because Jesus is making it real clear. You can do some great things and greater things than I've done. But I got to leave to do it. It doesn't make any sense. I would always picture, you know, I came to Christ in college, but I would always picture kind of, man, it would be a whole lot better if Jesus was just walking around my college campus. Man, then all my teammates would believe. Then all those people that doubt and have questions, they would really believe. And Jesus said, no, there's going to be greater things that are going to be done because I leave. Why? We just read it. Because unless he goes away, the Advocate of the Holy Spirit, he had given that name earlier if you read these four chapters of John, 14, 15, 16. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he's the Advocate is the Holy Spirit. Unless I go away, I can't send him to you. You see, I'm trying to encourage your faith here. We are living in the greatest time of human history, the age of the Holy Spirit, because we have now access to it is different. Then again, you read in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come, he would go away, he would come, he would go away. People would prophesy, and then they would stop. And it was a different age. But now that we're in the age where Jesus Christ has died, he's already risen, and he's glorified. So that now we're in the age where he can have the Holy Spirit actually living in all of his believers. Everyone that believes in Christ now has the same access to the Holy Spirit that Jesus did. And this is powerful. And this will transform your life. This transformed my life as a college student. I remember just beginning to wake up every morning realizing I was in a partnership with God. It wasn't just that he was trying to help my life and help me have a good day and a positive attitude and just make it. He was trying to get things done through my life. And he cared about me. He wasn't just trying to use me like a puppet, but in a real way, though, he was trying to accomplish some of these greater works. And again, we're going to talk about different spiritual gifts today, and we're going to connect the dots on some different things, and hopefully, again, answer. I put these questions back up that you guys had from last week. If you think of some more, stop me, because we want to talk about them. We want to talk about the scriptures and what they have to say. So let's start here in your notes. Spiritual gifts number two, grace and various gifts. There are various spiritual gifts, but these are all expressions of God's grace. We kind of hinted at this last week. We started talking about how the word charismata is this word for spiritual gifts, and charis is the word for grace. And so Romans 12 here, look at your notes, says, verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. And he goes on, we'll actually look at this passage here in a bit. And this Romans 12 has a list of gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, we read that last week, has a list of spiritual gifts. But notice he starts that one talking about that, hey, it's according to this grace that's given. And these gifts are connected to grace. 1 Peter 4, 10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And so, among other things, this means that spiritual gifts are not earned. You gotta hear that today. Just like your salvation, you did not deserve it. You didn't go to church enough. You didn't pray hard enough, buy a big enough Bible to not deserve to be saved. You didn't earn it. You received it as a free gift that God had paid. It was so expensive you could not pay for it, so He had to pay for it. And so by Jesus Christ's death, His sacrifice, His perfect sinless life, He now pays for that which we could never pay if we tried. But now we receive back a very costly gift, a very powerful treasure. And so it's God's good pleasure to give this to us. And next, about spiritual gifts, they're given by the Holy Spirit for the benefit of others. I think that was part of one of our questions was, how do I know if this is from God or not? And we read that as well last week, that each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. How do we know? The Holy Spirit is the one that shows up and people are blessed by it. I've not been around spiritual gifts operating where again, if they're operating properly, there's a common blessing. There's a common help that everyone receives, an encouragement from the Lord, that God is in this place. God is real. He is with me. He knows exactly what's going on in my life. He knows where I should be, what I should be doing. There's this sense of awe and wonder of God, not of man, but of God and His goodness. And that's what it is. It's to benefit others. I'll say this as well. Love is our motivator. If there is, let me say it like this. When spiritual gifts are operating, it's actually it's allowing people to encounter love in a real tangible way. So we can say, hey man, Q, I love you, man. You're a great guy. It's another thing for God Himself to say that, right? And I found that when we see these spiritual gifts, when we start talking about them, this is actually how God actually can show His love to us. He showed His love on the cross. He died for us. But I'm saying, if you get a word of prophecy, has anybody here ever gotten a prophetic word from someone who, in a real way, felt like God was telling them to say something to you, and they were giving this word to you? And again, you received it. Maybe you said, okay, let me judge it, or all prophecy should be judged. But you considered it, but in the midst of all of that, you realize, okay, God cares about me enough to speak to me, even through another person. Yes, we want God to speak to us and read our Bible and speak to us and be in a sermon and He speak to us, but God would use a person to go out of their way, stop and say, hey, you know, the Lord wants you to know this. I mean, that you feel love, right? And I could keep going with each of these spiritual gifts. There's a motivation behind the ball is that God would show us how much He loves us and reveal that to us and others as well. 1 Corinthians 13, we love, love is patient, love is kind, right? That is actually couched in 12, 13, and 14 is all about spiritual gifts. Paul talking about spiritual gifts. And so look at what he says in 1 Corinthians 13. Somebody read that there, 1 and 2 there.
by speaking the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but not have love, I am nothing.
Wow. I mean, Paul's being real clear, because the church in Corinth were operating in spiritual gifts. If love is not at the center, I'll say even the challenge for us sitting here today is, if spiritual gifts and you wanting to be more spiritually gifted, if it is not rooted and founded in your love for God and your love for others, it will be, like he said here, a cymbal just clanging. You'll be just noise. It'll be empty. Your ability, I mean, again, he's talking of moving mountains. And I mean, these are just amazing things. I think of the words of Jesus. He said in Luke, and actually in Matthew 7, he said, there are going to be some on the last day that said, Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I do signs? He's going to say, listen, depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me. Why? Because this is all out of a heart of love for God. And a love for people. And that's where spiritual gifts get expressed. That's how they get exercised. In 1 Corinthians 14 as well continues this idea. He had actually said at the end of 13, he said, man, faith, hope, and love, these things are going to last forever. But he said, so pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But the Holy Spirit empowers us. We read that last week. He's here to empower us to be great witnesses for Christ. A couple of glimpses at the list, and then we'll kind of break down maybe these individual parts. But like I said, the Scriptures have only a few lists, so to speak, of spiritual gifts, because you know, it's often the question, what are the spiritual gifts? How do I even know what they are and if I have them? Well, Romans 12 mentions a few. Let's actually read Romans 12, and like we read 1 Corinthians 12 last time. Let's do Romans 12. Someone read that. Actually, start in verse 1, and we'll go all the way to 8. Stop there.
Romans 12:1.
Mm-hmm.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the same members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness.
Okay, so this is some powerful verses, right, of Scripture. Some of them, you've probably heard. Don't conform to the image of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Testing out God's will. Everybody's been given a measure of faith. And look at the connection, though. He's connecting all these to spiritual gifts that each of us is given. He's connecting this to, you know, I like movies, and I've been very glad of all the comic book Marvel remakes. I like X-Men and that kind of things, you know. But what's been very neat from all of this is to see, and I think the power of the narrative and the story is that each person has this gift. They think it's strange. They think it's, you know, odd. And, you know, I'm strong when I'm angry. I don't know if I can use that. It's dangerous. I'm made out of steel. I can fly. I've got a spider sense. I can climb up walls. That's weird. It's strange. Don't use that. Right? It's kind of the conformist approach. But in Scripture, I believe the scripture is encouraging all of us to say, you know what, that part of you spiritually that is different, that's unique, it's actually needed. That super strength that you have or ability that you're like, oh, that's just some unique, quirky little thing that I have. And again, and we're not talking personality here. We're talking of actual spiritual giftedness. Mm-hmm. You know, spiritually, there's an encouragement here to use them. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine it, again. This is our when Pastor James sees our church. I believe as well as when God sees his church, he sees all these gifted people spiritually, not just naturally, not just physically, but spiritually gifted in every way. And imagine if everyone was operating in their gifts. Imagine if you came to a church service and you knew, hey, somebody was probably going to give me a word of knowledge today. Somebody's probably, we'll talk about what each of these means, but somebody's maybe is going to give me a prophetic word today. Or maybe I'm going to be the one that's supposed to teach someone else, you know, in the scriptures today. Maybe there's somebody that doesn't know Christ and I'm going to give a chance to turn to them and share with them something that can help them, right? Serve. Acts of mercy, encouragement, or exhortation. These are powerful things. I mean, again, what there should be nobody that walks out of anytime we gather together that gets discouraged. Mm-hmm. Why? Because somebody's got the gift of encouragement.
Yeah.
That's going to look at them or from the stage or from a song or again, maybe just greet them. You're going to make it. Mm-hmm. Have a great week. You know, again, everybody operating our gifts, that's the dream church to be a part of. I'm telling you. And that's what, again, we believe God wants us to be. 1 Corinthians 12, we read that last week, but it talks of the word of wisdom. Here's in your notes listed. The word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning spirits or distinguishing between them, various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Administrations listed as well, mentioned later on in 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Peter 4 talks about speaking and serving. I also mentioned as well Ephesians 4. A lot of people, you know, it talks about there's a fivefold gifting that's given to the church. And that God has given to the body of Christ in Ephesians 4, verse 7 and 8. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints, to equip the body, to basically to function. And I often try to distinguish those gifts as leadership gifts, as spiritual leadership gifts. Because I believe it's not that those are better, but it's not like you, I've been given the gift of being an apostle and it just appears in one day. It's over time that someone maybe teaches the Bible. You keep teaching the Bible like Pastor Bruce, and you keep teaching the Bible, enough people say, okay, you do that really good. Like, I can't do anything what you just did, but you break it down so I can understand it. I get what you're saying. You made something very complex, very understandable, right? That's what a good teacher does. They explain things. Somebody's very prophetic. And again, if you at a high rate and higher consistency are able to say what God is saying and other people are able to confirm it, that's the word of the Lord. That's not just a man's word or a good idea. That's God speaking right now. Over time, that person will become a prophet. People will recognize you and say, man, I see the gift in you. Your apostle means sent one. You know, again, Pastor Rice is a great example, evangelist as well, of someone just sent, just going from place to place. Churches just keep starting. Apostles go, they just keep starting new stuff. They just know how to start stuff and get it going, and they just keep going. Pastor Rice has planted tons of churches all over the world. And again, these are gifts that, again, I'll say are leadership gifts because over time they help lead the church and the body of Christ into places and people impacted that wouldn't have otherwise.
So, yes. When you said that for you those are the spiritual leadership gifts?
Yeah, I use that word of a spiritual leadership gift just to delineate because, again, sometimes people, like I'll say, you don't have to be a prophet to prophesy. Does that make sense? You don't have to be an evangelist to evangelize.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense? So those five gifts, apostles, prophets, he's talking about these are church leadership gifts that the leaders in your church need to be gifted spiritually in order for the church to be healthy and thrive. The phrase that often gets thrown around is the fivefold ministry is what some people call that those lists. And so I just use the word leadership gifts because I feel like that best encapsulate, because those are the leaders of a church. And you look in the book of Acts, it was Paul going to start churches. He was an apostle. There was other people, Barnabas, other people that went and started churches. But there was evangelists that traveled around. There was a guy named Apollos. He would travel around and preach the gospel. He wouldn't just stay at one church and just preach. He would go and preach the gospel. People would come to Christ, would grow in Christ. So anyway, I could go on with each of these, but that's their primary function. That's why I say, you know, these are more of leadership gifts. That God uses those different giftings to lead groups of people, not just maybe to minister individually to people. So I try to delineate that just to separate those out from 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. So we're gonna do a bit of a flyover on some of these gifts, and again, feel free, just like Liliana just did, to ask questions. You got, like, hold on, give me an example. I'm going to try to give you examples for each of these. Some of them will make sense, some of them won't. And that's why we're in this class, so we were all here to learn. So let's go through some of these. The gift of serving. This gift, now listen, let me just say this, because all of them, so I'm not repeating myself. We're talking about not natural gifting, we're talking about supernatural gifting. This is God putting His supernatural on your natural. Right. This is God going past just what is common sense to there's a spiritual deposit and impact on other people's lives. There's an intangible feature to this. Let me say that's quite remarkable. But people notice it. That's the thing about spiritual gifts. People will notice. They might not be able to say, "Oh, that's spiritual." They just, you know, people use all kinds of words now. Vibes, you know, your energy. You know, those are some of young people's words. But there's different things. It's like they just sense something. They don't know what, because again, we live in a world where we try to minimize supernatural things. But there's something that's happening supernatural as a result of it. And so let me start here with the gift of serving. Again, this seems like, oh, natural thing. Oh, I volunteer and I help out my church. Some of us in here, if you ever done, anybody ever done the five love languages? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, some people, you just, I like to serve others. They get a benefit and a joy, and they tend to serve other people. The premise of the five love languages is that you try to love other people the way you like to receive love. So it helps your marriage, your relationships out, because you realize, oh man, one of them is acts of service. I like to, you know, I like to be served, and so I want to serve other people. Or physical touch. I like hugs, and so I always give them hugs, you know. And all the people that don't like hugs, they're like just running from you every time they see you, you know. But it's like that, right? Some people like gifts, you know. I'm trying to look at the other one. Words of affirmation. So there's all these five love languages. But with serving, we're not talking about just the natural inclination or bent to serve. We're talking about, again, when you serve, it has a spiritual impact. So again, everyone might not run up to you and say, "Oh, thank you so much for serving us that meal, or having us, you know, come be a part of this thing or that thing that I was in, and you served me while I was there." But there's something again that's impactful from their service. This gift can be described as the spirit empowered ability to identify and meet needs involved in doing God's work. I'll say it's not a secular type of service. But there is a unashamed that, listen, I'm serving you this meal in the name of Jesus Christ. And the people don't just receive the food or the clothes or the shelter or whatever the service that's happening, but there's a spiritual deposit as well. It's like, man, that was a God-like thing. Alright. So listen, we'll talk about this with faith. God requires all of us to serve. Right? This isn't like some, you know, oh, well, they got the gift of service. I ain't serve for family meal Sunday. I don't know about that. They got the gift. That's only for people with the gift. No. Everybody's to serve. Y'all know the word, y'all know what the word ministry and minister means? Servant. It's the same, you know, that we just translate it that way. It's the same word. And so minister, ministry, it all is about serving. We're all called to serve, but there is some that have a special ability. Maybe it's a higher aptitude or frequency that they serve at, but there's a, again, a spiritual impact that's given off from their service. Next, the gift of teaching. This can be described as a spirit-empowered ability to communicate revelation and truth from God's Word so others will grow and mature. Again, You know, great examples, Pastor Bruce. Hopefully everybody's teaching BSD, has the gift of teaching, or at least they're growing in it, right? But again, all I'll explain it is teachers naturally see the world as a classroom. And they naturally see the world as needing explanation. And again, some people are, you know, again, whether it's secular or business world, they're just natural teachers. They want to explain, bring you alongside. Let me tell you how to do this, right? But spiritually, we're talking about now they're able to teach the Bible. They're able to explain spiritual realities. They're able to, for you, the light bulbs go off. When you're around a teacher, man, it's like the light bulbs go off. Oh, that scripture goes with this scripture, with this. Oh, that's what Jesus was trying to say. I didn't understand. That's what the book of Leviticus was about. I skipped that book. Or those genealogies. You start making the connections, not with just with random things, but with big things. And you're closer to God as a result. There's a passionate transfer of knowledge. God wants all of us to teach. So again, these aren't generic. These are specific. But God wants all of us to teach, but what we have learned from Him, or what we've learned from Him, but He endows some of us believers with special teaching abilities. And does anybody here feel like they've got a teaching gift? Maybe seen this operate in your own life? Really? Okay. I encourage you, again, use these gifts. Let's find opportunities. Let's believe God to step out and use some of these gifts. Next, the gift of encouraging and exhorting. This gift can be described as a spirit-empowered ability to minister words from God that comfort, strengthen, and inspire God's people. All I know how to say it is you walk away. This type of person is the person that you probably have favorited or speed dial on your phone, because you're going to walk away from that conversation feeling good. I need to talk to this person. They're going to not just make me feel better about myself, but like I know that's the person I need to talk to when I'm unsure. But when I talk to them, oh, I know I can do it. I know I'm going to face this challenge head on. I don't know how it's going to end up, but I know God's with me. A gift of exhortation. Usually during our services, we have an exhortation, and if you notice, kind of usually after worship. But usually we're wanting God to lift up everybody, strengthen everybody, encourage, like literally encourage, put courage inside of you so that spiritual side of you says, you know what? Through Christ, I can do all things. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. There's this courage that rises up and bubbles up, a confidence in God and His ability. A great example is the disciple, Joseph. He apparently embodied this gift. He actually was called Barnabas by the apostles in Acts chapter 4. This means son of encouragement. That was like his nickname. You know, he just... For the first few years I was a part of Bethel, one of our little buzzwords we used to use a lot was champ. Like everybody just walk around and call each other champ. I don't know if most of y'all aren't old enough to remember that. But like that was, everybody would walk around and just, yeah, champ, you got this, champ. Come on, you can do it. Come on, champ, you got it. You know, so it was like people's first name became champ, you know. But that was what this guy's, I mean, he was the guy that would walk around saying, hey, champ, you could, come on. So everybody just knew he's just the son of encouragement, man. He everywhere he goes. Barnabas was the only disciple in Jerusalem, get this, who received Saul of Tarsus after he was converted. You got to think, Barnabas' spiritual gift was so good that he had to encourage all of the people that followed Jesus around to actually embrace the guy who would start the most churches in the first century. Because they didn't believe him. He was a terrorist kind of, you know, to that point in their mind. But his gift of encouragement was able to help this new believer, Saul, who became Paul, grow in his faith. It was also Barnabas that Saul helped ask for to go see revival happen in Antioch. They tag team up there. And so without Barnabas, Saul may have never gone on and fulfilled his ministry. And, you know, again, many of the letters of the New Testament are written by Saul, Paul. And so this is how powerful that gift is. It encourages and exhorts and pushes people, endows them. I'm sorry, they're endowed with this special ability to do that. Next is the gift of giving. This gift can be described as a spirit-empowered ability to contribute significant financial resources to the Lord's work. Let me say this. This has nothing to do with the amount of money you make. I've known some people who are not what we would look at numbers and zeros wise as rich, but they have a gift of giving. And they will give and they will give and they will give and they will give. And some, you know, some to the point where it seems natural for them. But it has a spiritual and supernatural impact to the people that give. I've known businessmen and their whole goal of their business is, man, I'm going to make more money for the kingdom. I want to give more money away. It blew me away years ago. I don't know if y'all heard of the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Rick Warren wrote that book. But years ago, when that book started gaining traction, he made a commitment to the Lord. It's like, I'm going to reverse tithe. I'm going to give away 90%. And that's what he does. That book did so well and different things where he literally flipped it around. So I'm going to live on 10% now and give 90% away to the kingdom. And I believe part of it, he just got a gift of giving. If you follow his life and his ministry, man, he's such a generous person as an individual and his what he's learned from the Lord and how he gives away, helps so many people, has a great church in California. But this gift of giving, it's spirit empowered. It blesses others. Again, it's not about the amount. It's the heart and the calling, but I have seen as well people that have the gift of giving that have huge amount of resources, and that's their calling as well. They give what they have to the Lord. 1 Timothy 6 says, Paul encouraged Timothy, do good, be rich in good works. And he was talking to the rich people. He said, be generous and ready to share. He said, Timothy, tell the rich people to be generous and be ready to share, thus storing up for themselves treasures in heaven. Next, the gift of leading. Now, this gift can be described as the spirit-empowered ability to influence and mobilize God's people to work together for the advancement of His kingdom. People with this gift are usually self-starters. Like, they don't wait around to say, hey, you know, we need somebody to lead this Bible study over here. They're already leading the Bible study. They already gathered people together in their house. They're already, you know. It's like you're having to tell them, hey, can you take your leadership and steer it so we're not all just going every which way. Like, their leadership gifts, again, some people are natural leaders. I'm talking about spiritually, they're already leading other people and helping other people. They tend to initiate projects. They want this responsibility. They're not afraid of focus, attention, people looking at them, right? Obviously, the Apostle Paul is a great example of this. This man went on 3 missionary trips and churches all over the place were started. It wasn't like he just went on one short-term mission trip and ministered to a couple people and they came to Christ. When he went on his trips, I mean, whole churches were started and left behind and continue to this day, some of them. And so God wants all of us to lead others in some capacity. But some people He has gifted to lead others in the body of Christ. And that's what we're acknowledging here. Next, the gift of mercy. Acts of mercy. So these people, I always like to say, they've got all the stray cats and dogs in their house. They just have this ability to feel just genuine empathy and compassion and care and concern. And again, it's this heart that just breaks. It's funny, one of my friends just the other day, I think they're on vacation. I think I forget what part of the world they're in, Caribbean. And they went on, you know, this vacation and went to go see the dolphins. She said, every time I saw the dolphins, I just started crying because they were nursing and rehabilitating these dolphins. And why do they even just come up to us and deal with humanity and just all this stuff? And I'm just like, I don't have that gift. I don't have that, you know, that's an ability to cry about dolphins being in the water. I might pet them and, you know, be around them. That'd be fun. Take some pictures. But that's it. That's about it. I'm not going to go home and stay up at night thinking about it. She probably is, right? But it's the gift of mercy. There's this huge, all I know, it's a huge well for humanity, for the world. You know, it's not just about being someone who can cry real easy, but there's this compassion for people, for their need that drives them. And other people see it and they're blessed by it. They know it's the Lord working when they see them go out of their way to sacrifice for them. Again, God wants all of us to do acts of mercy, right? That's what the prophet Micah said. You know, what does God require? You know, to walk with God. You know? And one of the things he says is to do justice. Basically, to have mercy on others that are less fortunate or in dire straits, and we need to take action. Again, this is what mercy does. It wants to fill in the gaps for the broken, the hurting. Next, the gift of helping. A lot of people, you know, tag this one with service. I'll say this. It's not just spirit empowered to help serve, but there's an angle of sharpness and effectiveness that comes from this gift of helping. We talk about the gift of administration. That's not quite the word we're talking here, but it's similar in that they're able to help to a point of, we make this better. We make this more streamlined. They're thinking in such strategic ways that they're able to, I'm helping, but I'm also improving. Does that make sense? And again, it's a spiritual gift. This isn't just like a, you know, somebody in HR. They're just, you know, getting paid to do that. This is like, no, spiritually, God has given them the ability to take all these strands. There's a better way to do this. You know that, right? You know, instead of emailing this way, we could do it this way. We can press a couple buttons. And then, I mean, we've got people in Bethel that are working behind the scenes that, man, They're just gifted at this. They're always thinking about new, better, faster, and it's a blessing. Our I don't know if y'all got the new app we got. Bethel has an app. They've been working for, I mean, probably 9 months on this, building this and putting this together and the best things. And some of the features that we hadn't even unveiled yet, they've been working on even, you know. There's some features on there. I mean, you can check in your small groups, and they're gonna, you know, there's gonna be some things where you can literally drive on the property, and boom, you get notifications about, hey, here's the link for this. This is what's going on. I'm not thinking like that. I'm thinking, man, you know, what's the best place to park, you know, for my family, or whatever, you know. But they're thinking bigger and bringing all the pieces together. Again, this is gift of helping. People with the gift of helps are often proficient at a various practical skills and are motivated by a desire to assist others. If you look at the Greek words, the lexical difference between the words for serving and helping, it seems that this gift of helping is more task-oriented. So it's trying to accomplish a task versus serving being more... they're nearly synonymous, though, but serving might be less task-oriented, more people-oriented. Again, that's a suggestion. So, next here, the gift of administration. I've hinted at this as well. This gift can be described as spirit-empowered ability to help formulate and implement plans and processes for accomplishing goals. We'll talk in a minute. All of these sometimes can overlap. It's not like this clean, I'm just giving you this and that's all you need. But the Greek word translated for administrating in 1 Corinthians 12:28 literally means a person who steers a ship. So most of us are probably not nautical people. If you made your way to Tennessee, probably not around a lot of nautical things. But anyone who does steer a ship, captain a ship, knows that's not just this way. I mean, there's... You know, especially sales back then, there's multiple things that you're juggling at the same time while you're watching where you're going. And that takes I think about, you know, a great example of this to me is LJ. I don't know if you guys have ever interfaced with LJ. She has this ability to coordinate and think about event. And I mean, it's almost like, I don't know if she works backwards. And like she lives in the future, and she's just like, oh yeah, I'm just, you know, 10 days in the future. But like for me, I'm a right now person. You just get me in front of someone right now, I can be in the moment. I can cloud everything out. I don't even think about it. I can be in the moment. But for her, it's like she sees all the, okay, if we go down this path, I'm going to, that's how we get there. And you know, 10 things, she can just administer. She's pulled off some of our biggest and most well-attended events here. We, you know, they mentioned this morning we had this world conference down in Orlando. A ton of the people that put together that world conference were out of our church, and they administrated it. Y'all should have seen. We had communion for 5,000 people, and they actually did it 15 minutes shorter than they thought. And the video guys were scrambling in the back because they were supposed to queue up a video and have this thing ready to show at the end of communion. Well, they had 15 extra minutes. and served 5,000 people. And and they had, they didn't just hand out communion. They had each person take communion and then hand it to the next person and give them communion. So it was like 5,000 people did it in a short amount. I mean, that's administration. Somebody sat there and thought through that whole thing and how it was the best way to do it. Again, they're able to do this in various aspects and implement these plans and accomplish these goals. Again, God wants you all to be administrative. I hope, I mean, you, there's no way you got here today unless you figured out where your toothbrush was, where your clothes was, where is your, you know, oh, do I put gas in the car? You have to administrate your own life, right? And so this isn't a, you know, special thing that, oh, they're administrative my life. No, all of us have to do that, right? But again, this is a supernatural gift that is to bless the body of Christ. I think I've mentioned most of this, these other notes that I had here. Let me say this, a couple other things about the gift list. A lot of theologians argue, or there's been a bit of debate about, is this all the gifts there are that we just read? 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12. And some people would say, you know what, that's exhaustive. It's in the Bible. That's the only gifts that you can get spiritually. Other people would be of the persuasion, you know what, there's probably more gifts. These were not to be an encyclopedia. Right? Maybe he's just throwing out different gifts that he's seen. And so I'll give you a couple examples. Hospitality and intercession. I've heard people, and actually I know people that are tremendous at hosting people in their lives and very hospitable. If Pastor Jerry Turney, he's our Festival of the Nations leader and helps a lot with outreach. Him and his wife, if you just walk by them, they might invite you to their house today. Like, that's just the type of people they are. I think last year they had probably had 200 something gatherings or birthday parties or just something at their house. It was just like a carousel. I mean, Charlene finally tried to keep track, you know, last year just to see, because it just happened like 2-3 times a week. They're having somebody over their house, having a meal, having a life group. For some of us, we go, oh, that's overwhelming. Nobody's coming to my house this week, you know. But for them, it's a spiritual gift that they are super hospitable. Hospitality is so important that the Bible said, Paul said to Timothy and to Titus, he said, listen, if they're going to be leaders in the church, they got to be hospitable. So it's got to be a quality that most of us have, right? We're going to be welcoming. How are we going to love our neighbor? You know, unless we truly welcome them and have an open door, so to speak, to them. But there's a gift of hospitality that I feel like that some people have, that I've seen operate in people's lives. And it's a gift that, again, in a healthy way, brings people to Jesus. It brings people closer to God. Did you have a question?
Yeah. Cooley? Maybe hospitality is like a combination of like multiple gifts, like giving plus services, hospitality.
Yeah. Yeah,
and maybe like back then it was kind of just understood that hospitality was like a part of that.
Yeah,
that was like an Eastern culture, right?
Yeah, yeah, you got cultures that are more hospitable maybe than others.
Yeah.
So yeah, our American way, we don't have a drawbridge, but we let down our drawbridge, the garage door, right, and we go into our cubbies and we're good. But you know, again, some other cultures, you can stay as long as you want. You come over to somebody's house, that's a normal thing in parts of the world. And you know, again, it's not the American way, but yeah, we're using words or language maybe that's pulling and trying to combine other concepts. I think that's definitely a good idea or thought maybe of what's happening. I'll say another one. I mentioned intercession. To me, again, all Christians are called to pray. All Christians are called to seek God. There's promises from all of us. If we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. One of the greatest promises in the Bible. But there are some people that, again, this would be, understood, I think, and I feel like I've expressed it or been a part of seeing people's lives, that they feel this it's a passion. They pray earnestly, persistently. Colossians 4:12, Paul talks about one of the early disciples who started the church in Colossae, Epaphras. He said, he listed them in there in Colossians 4:12. He said, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Jesus Christ, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayer. So maybe he had it, you know. But it's this idea that this person they are wrestling in prayer consistently. This is their life. This is the, I would say this is like their spiritual giftedness. They are not just a person that likes to pray, but they're a person that lives to pray. And they are always interceding for people, for things, again, we're all to live, so to speak, intercessory life. What is, pop question, what is Jesus doing right this moment? What is he doing this moment? Yeah, the Bible says he's making intercession for us. So, you know, again, if wouldn't you assume if I have a relationship with God, and I talked to Jesus, I would start to hear some of his prayers and the things that he's wanting to get done, and, you know, again, fall in line with that intercessory type lifestyle he's living. So again, there's people that have this calling and this gift, and so any questions about these spiritual gifts that we've talked about? We're gonna.
Do you think these categories might? Well, before you mention leadership gifts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, if you look at these other two, they're kind of like themes surrounding them.
Mm-hmm.
Like Romans 12, that seems like service to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then like 1 Corinthians 12 seems like power.
Mm-hmm.
And then when like you look at the language like surrounding, you know, each list of giftings, like there's like no overlap between mm-hmm. the gifts, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And like in Romans, he's using stuff like gifts according to grace and faith, whereas like in 1 Corinthians, he's like power and empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe like they're like distinct categories.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I think all of them are powerful, though. Mm-hmm. I will say that. And to me, the Romans is it, even like the letter and the tone of them mm-hmm. versus 1 Corinthians is a little different. Yeah, so I wouldn't try to read it. I mean, but that's a hypothesis to keep following. To me, like, it is very powerful when somebody is hospitable.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a different way.
Yeah.
It might not be a dynamic, you know, they let, you know, you walked in their house and you fall down kind of thing. But it can be just as powerful. Like, I've had people like, man, I'd never heard of Christ, but you invited me to my house. That was the most powerful thing. You invited me. I had one guy, he said, this is just random what impacts people. I prayed for him, and this was when I was a college student. He was a classmate. Or, you know, at the college that I was at. And he said, you asked to pray for me in the middle of the cafeteria. That's the craziest thing. Like, that just blew his mind. That somebody, you know, again, you know, people are like, oh, man, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. I was like, let's just pray right now. I know I'm going to forget. Let's pray right now. Let's believe God right here. Why we got to wait till quiet time and Sunday morning? Let's pray right now. Just pray for. I mean, I don't know what I prayed, but that was impactful, you know. So sometimes you don't know the spiritual things that would impact someone, and what's powerful or not. But yeah, people have. I'll say this coolly: many have tried to kind of take these gifts and maybe, you know, combine them, sort them out, give them different language and different groupings. I will say so. We'll talk next week actually about the 1 Corinthians 12 ones, and. Those tend to all revolve around, sounds like speaking, you know. Whereas this Romans 12 ones, you know, to serve, you don't have to say anything sometimes, you know. To you know, wash someone's feet, you just have to tell them to be still, really, you know. It's like, don't let me do what I'm trying to do, you know, serve you. So I think that there is potential uniquenesses to these different lists. I think that's worth exploring is what I'm trying to say. So, great. Yeah. Yeah.
Right now we, one of the leaders in the church, she is from Philippines.
Ah, yeah.
So she's very quiet, mm-hmm. you know, she's not like, you know, it will teach you a
yeah.
big thing.
Yeah.
But, my God, I've been in this Bible study like 5 years.
Oh, wow.
And she is so calm. She,
yeah.
She cooks like, oh, my God. You know, but she is so loving.
Wow.
And she is like, for example, she knows what you like.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, you know, I know that you like this.
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't have to do that.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she's, I'm going there sometimes, like, oh my God, I just feel like refreshing, just knowing that somebody cares. You.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just giving and giving and giving you, but you feel like the love of God
yeah.
for her.
That's good.
And she doesn't, you know, like, what I'm trying to say is, the love of her,
yeah.
not in words, but
yeah.
in actions.
Yeah, it's good.
And it seems like it's a well that is big,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
that keeps flowing and flowing. It seems like she never runs out of energy to do something.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
As for me, that is unbelievable.
like,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
So, aren't you glad she's not just at our church, but she's in the body of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could you imagine the whole? That would be here if she was not there to invite you or others and to make those connections. Open up. I mean, you're just thinking, oh, it's food.
Yeah.
Just a meal. I could have got a Burger King or, you know, some other quicker way. But the power of her opening her life up and then the love that you see poured out through that,
yeah,
it's impacted you.
Yeah, when you said that this is a spiritual gift, it's not just a natural thing.
Yeah.
Because natural can be like, I would guess that she might be, you know, very tired sometimes.
Yeah.
And she is sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, of course,
yeah.
life is not
mm-hmm.
a bed of roses, right?
Yeah.
But she seems like every time she wants to do something, I cannot.
You can't beat her. Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
I mean, ever.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The more intentional I can be, but it's not possible to to be. Have that high standard that she has.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something like it's very from, you know, from inside of her.
Yeah.
I mean, the spirit of God is
like,
has to be there. I mean, it's not humanly possible.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. What, let me ask you guys, is there, when you see someone that's operating in their spiritual gifts, it could be any of these that we listed today, what does that do to you? But when you see somebody, you know, maybe it's this one, you know, being super hospitable, maybe somebody giving a prophetic word, and you're
usually impacted. It makes me want to be more Christ-like.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even being like them. It's just I see Christ coming through them, so then you want Christ to come through them.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was I was going to say the same thing. Very encouraging. We see people operate in their gifts. And another thing that kind of spoke to me as we were just going through class was Romans 12:2, which is kind of crazy because that wasn't anything about the gifts, but talking about do not conform, you know, to this world, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And it was as the Lord was just telling me, like, things change with time. You know, we can get so busy, and literally there have been plenty of times where I'm like, Lord, I feel like I'm doing too much. Like, my friends are like, girl, you're going way above and beyond. But when I sit in prayer, the Lord is like, no, that is my will. Don't conform to what the world considers to be too much. Like, like you were saying, as Americans, we can be like, all right, it's time to go.
We're so weird.
It's done. It's over. It's 8 o'clock. You know, Bible study is over. Like, it's over.
Yeah.
But as I was just reading that, and when you said it out loud, it was that the Lord was just telling me, like, Antonia, do not conform to this world.
Yeah.
You have to come to me, and you're gifted. You know, you may be gifted in something.
Yeah.
And the world may say, like, you're doing way too much.
Yeah.
You're going above and beyond. Like, you're doing, like, just do the bare minimum and leave.
Yeah.
And that's just you conforming to the world.
Yeah. I agree.
And so, you know, that scripture just kind of just really spoke to me, and like, okay, that means, you know, me just constantly going to prayer, asking Him, okay, what is your will concerning this?
Yeah.
Do you want me to give more?
Yeah.
Do you want me to spend more time? Do I need to serve more?
Yeah.
And different things. Like
yeah.
That. So,
that's good. That's really good. That's really good. Yeah. I know the question was, you know, when you see someone operating in their gift, what does that do to you? I think I get, if part of it is I go, like Liliana said, like, I can't do that. Like, I see, how many of y'all ever seen Pastor Jim LaFoon? One of the elders here prophesy.
Yeah.
I mean, he preaches here some, but there's other settings, and that usually that's his. He's a prophet. I just say that he's a very prophetic guy, and he's had meetings, and you know, we've had several meetings, you know, in the church where he'll just I've seen him just give a word. It might interrupt the service. It might interrupt the meeting. The Lord has said this, And I've sat with him before, you know, we've talked about these gifts and stuff. And I mean, it, for him, we were in Cracker Barrel. He said, I could just go through this whole room. I mean, we're just like asking him because he's just such a very well-respected prophetic voice. And he's like, how does it work? You know, like, do you get like an email in the morning? It's like, God said, all right, you're going to see 10 people with the green shirt, with the, you know, it's like, how does this work? He's like, well, I could prophesy over this whole room in Cracker Barrel. I mean, he just pointed to all the people, and he said, I could just go through the whole room, right now. He said, the Lord just gives me the words to say, you know? And as I'm looking, or, you know, I'm just pondering what he's trying to say, he gives me the words to say, you know? And, But when I'm around, so what I found is the opposite's true. Not only am I inspired by them using their gifts, but I actually, I feel a little bit of the draft, like, okay, I feel like I'm a little prophetic right now. Not to compete or anything, but it's like, I'm like trying to listen to God, like, what is he trying to say? You know, if I'm around an evangelist friend, they're winning people for Christ, I start, man, yeah, I'm going to be bold for Jesus too, yeah, hey. You need to talk about, you know, let's talk about, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's not that I want to become them or compete with them, but I get encouraged to, like, trust God to use me.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so, I want to encourage all of us in this class to be those, not just that receive your own gifts and come to know which ones you are operating in, but to know that every time you step out with your gift, you're emboldening someone else that's a believer. I'm telling you, I've shared my faith on campus. I'm not an evangelist, but God's told me to do evangelism. I don't know how many times I've met a Christian, and they're like, wow, thank you for doing this. This is really, like, I need to be doing this. Like, I'm a Christian. I don't share my faith with anybody on campus. I do college ministry, so I don't share my faith with anybody, and I need to be more like you. Or, you know, they get that, you know, sense of, you know, I know what, there is a God, and he's with me, and I need to be doing my Father's business, you know. So, this is great stuff. To be moving, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if this has anything to do with spiritual.
Okay.
So, what if you have dreams?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's something that you think is going to happen, and then it happens in the end.
Mm.
So, I guess at that point you're thinking, okay, should I say or should I not say?
Mm-hmm.
You have a prophetic word,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
With me, I know obviously it has to be encouraging and everything.
Yeah.
I just get confused.
Yeah, what to say? What am I supposed to say? Am I supposed to do anything with this? Yeah.
I'm always concerned that maybe I'll put a comma when it's stuff with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it doesn't come out right.
Yeah. Well, I think so. I'm assuming you're talking about yourself for dreams and stuff. Yeah. So, a lot of people that I know that operate prophetically consistently have kind of this dream world that they have consistent either have consistent dreams or their dreams are very significant, impactful. They remember them. Whereas me, I forget most of my dreams. I wake up and go, I had something happen to me. You know, but I know when it's God speaking. You write yours out. Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah, what do you do with it? Yeah, I think that's where. So again, all of these spiritual gifts, it's about our relationship with God too. It's not just, Delvin, tell Antonia that when she leaves here today, you know, it's not like he's just giving me something I'm just supposed to give away, and he's not doing something in our relationship, you know. And so I do want to ask God, because that's the next question. God, what do you want me to do with this? And then the other question is when? Because it could be, go, yeah. You could talk yourself out of it. Yeah, you could talk yourself out of it. And I think, too, getting around other people that are prophetic is important. So finding, again, other people that operate prophetically, you'll see how they operate, I'll say. Or they might use dreams and visions. But, again, dreams is in the Bible, right? Daniel, and we deem him as a prophet. He used, you know, his ability, say Joseph as well in the Old Testament, there's this ability to take what the world sees as just kind of random or spiritual, maybe, and God's saying, no, I'm using this to speak, you know, some things that I'm trying to get done. So so my encouragement would just be to ask God, what do you want me to do, and then when? And knowing that he might not give you Tuesday at 3:27. I want you know what I'm saying? Like, he might not give you the very specifics. He might just be, say something to her, you know. it might be as simple as you know, this is, you had a dream about your aunt and you just need to call her. So I've learned enough, my spiritual gifts, I haven't even shared that part, but I'll share that now. But I've learned enough in my journey with the Holy Spirit these past couple decades is when God brings things, people to your mind, it's not random. It's not just a, oh, okay, I'm thinking about my aunt. I don't even talk to my aunt. I don't even think about my aunt mostly. Oh, well. No, it's like, oh, there might be something there. That's what I found. And I started, you know, early on in my after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, sending people, calling people, emailing people, and I realized there was something there. It wasn't just, oh, I thought about so-and-so. Somebody popped on my Facebook feed. So that's the investigative work. You just go and just see, what is God doing over here? Auntie, you doing all right? You haven't been dealing with anything in your right leg, have you? Okay, I just wonder. You know, but you had a dream, and this had to do with this and that, and then you start realizing, like, okay, maybe God is working in that, and that's where you just go find out what he's doing. And then I found as well helpful, especially prophetic people that I've been around, to use phrases like, I think the Lord is saying this. Instead of saying, the Lord told me, you know, you're supposed to marry this person. It's supposed to, I think God might be saying something to the situation. You know, the other things, a few other things about the prophetic, it's usually a word. So let's say, when I say a word, it might physically, like you get this word, like it might be a picture, like a vision. I see an arrow. I don't know why I'm thinking about this person. I see an arrow. Why am I thinking of an arrow? And then sometimes it's just go talk to them. And you don't know what you're going to say. And so he gives you as you just go and engage them. So, again, the prophetic people in my life, Reggie Roberson and our Kings Park Church in North Carolina, he came here and did a teaching on that. I don't know if it's online still, but those were some of the things he was teaching about. It's just he's prophetically wired. And he said that if you follow those trails, usually God will give you the word you're supposed to deliver to someone else. You know. I'm going to end kind of just my testimony, and we'll pray and be done unless you got some other questions. I know last week we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was a sophomore in college and had kind of gotten to be around some spirit-filled believers and heard them pray in tongues and thought that was interesting. And, you know, really started digging into Scripture. It was actually, that was my first time really reading the Bible. And in that year, I came to Christ that fall, got baptized. And in the spring, it was one of those things, again, we read last week, just ask God. Ask God for the Holy Spirit. You're like, I don't understand all this. Okay, well, just ask him. Like, it's not like he's got some secret knowledge and I have nobody that I go to, you know. You can go directly to the source of all wisdom and information in the universe. We have a direct, you know, the old TV show was Batman. He had a red phone. The commissioner had, he could call Batman, like, directly. Like, we've got a direct line to the God of the universe at all times through Jesus. Through because of what he's done. And so, go to him. Talk to him. But I remember, you know, basically saying, God, I want the Holy Spirit. Will you fill me with the Holy Spirit? He filled me with the Holy Spirit one night on my dorm bed. And, you know, it started me down a whole journey. It was like a whole world just, you know, it was like I was going down a corridor and I would just open up a whole new wing of my faith, of you know, having power, boldness in my life, ability to say things, even in moments that I was even shocked. I was, did I just say that? Oh man! And things impact people that I didn't think it was. I thought I just said, you know, no big deal. But people walk away and go, oh my gosh, that changed my life. And I go, oh, what? One of them was my friend. The next school year, my junior year, we had. You know, guys transfer, you know, the middle of the semester often in January, and from other schools we had a guy transfer in, and he was walking on campus with another one of my teammates, and one of my teammates, he's literally got a beer bottle in his hand walking across campus, just They just put, you know, it's college. And so he wasn't trying to hide it that day. And they're walking, and he comes, our pastor about to cross, you know, he knew I told everybody I don't drink, you know, kind of thing, and I was a believer, and my life had changed and all this. And so I walked up to him, you know, and so the fun thing to do if you're a lost person is to tease any Christians, you know, that you know. And so he came up to me, he's like, hey, what's going on, you know, and hey, you want something to drink, you know, kind of thing. And this time, for some reason, I said, you know, I'm tired of them messing with me, whatever. So I said, yeah, give me some of that. And so he's like, oh my gosh, he's about to drink. You know, like, I've got the evidence now that he's not a real Christian, you know. So I took the bottle and I poured it on the ground. And he said, oh, my man, you know what you're doing? He took my bottle back. He said, man, don't do that. And the guy watching him thought, that was the boldest, most craziest thing he had ever seen a Christian do. And he wound up later becoming a Christian. But he said that was so impactful for him that I was just messing with him, that he was messing with me, you know. But again, like the Holy Spirit, in that moment, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know, you know, where to go, you know. Or I felt like he's trying to make fun of me and trying to make God look lame, pretty much. What do I do, God? You know, and so, but the Holy Spirit would give you those moments of what to say, how to say it. That's what the promise, what Jesus said. If you open your mouth, I'll fill it. And I don't know. It started a journey. There was a book. Last thing I'll say, years ago, Benny Hinn wrote. I never read it, but I just love the title. It says, "Good Morning, Holy Spirit." Good morning, Holy Spirit. And so that started to be my prayer in the morning. Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're here. You're not just, you know, far away. You're not just at church, you know, waiting for us to get back. You're here with me. And that started my daily adventures with the Holy Spirit, to give out words or to, you know what, when I saw that person, you know what, God brought you to my mind this morning. I was praying. I don't know why. What's going on, man? And those things started happening where, again, supernatural things that you're not able to take any credit for. You're able to just say, man, God is the one that gave it to me. He's the one that did it. He's the one that stirred me in this kind of way. So I know for me, gift of exhortation, encouragement is one of my gifts. Teaching is one of my gifts. I try to use it. That's all I know how to use, you know, and blessing others. And again, I'm not in a competition with anybody. I'm just trying to be who God's called me to be and do what He's called me to do. So, you know, any gifts that you already know you have, my encouragement to you is step out. Use them this week. If you don't have a clue what your gifts are, ask God to just fill you fresh with His Spirit. And if you're filled, the guy said it on Friday night, if y'all are in power, he said, filled people, fill people. And that was good. When you are full of God, you have something to share, I'm telling you. And I'm telling you, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, there's other people that'll go. They'll just say stuff. You got a good vibe about you. I do. I just brush my teeth and put my clothes on. Like, what are you talking about? I mean, I like you. I want to do business with you. I want to talk to you more. Can I tell you something? I mean, okay, yeah. Tell me that secret that you ain't told nobody else that you done did. You know, whatever. It's like, all right. I don't want to cuss around y'all. Stop. You know, I just stuff like, you're like, okay, I didn't do anything, but that's, I have the Holy Spirit. You know, He's with me. So, great. Well, let's pray. We're going to end there today. And next week we'll actually, it'll be my last week with you guys, and then the fourth week you'll have another teacher. But we're going to finish up strong looking at these lists of gifts. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12 primarily and look at each of those gifts. And so I meant to go through some of these. Let me just look real quick here. I think we'll wind up covering a few of these all next week. I think we did this one already. Talking about Jesus being Lord. And we'll make sure we talk about this one, because this one seems to be tied to this other one. Alright. We did this one too. I think we did this one today. But I'll come back and make sure we get that clear. Alright, let's pray and let you guys get out of here. Lord, we just thank you right now for who you are. Thank you that we don't have to talk about you like you're not here. We thank you, Jesus, that you said it's better that you go away. And Lord, that seems unimaginable, but it's a very real reality when we have the Holy Spirit in us. Lord, and we praise you for that privilege, that honor, Lord, to have the God of the universe live inside of us. Lord, I pray that each of my friends, as we're learning and discovering more about spiritual gifts, Lord, if they've already had gifts that they know they have, Lord, I pray that they would dust them off the shelf. Lord, that they would use them, they would operate them, they would step out. Lord, that they would pray for boldness and courage, Lord, that they would even find somebody else with the gift of exhortation, encourage them to get off the bench, to get into the game. Lord, to be and involved in what you're doing. Lord, thank you all throughout this community. You're drawing men, women, children to yourself. Lord, we've been praying for it to happen so we know that you're already speaking to people that, Lord, that could never come to church this morning. They're too drunk, too hungover. Lord, they're too busy with their own life. They're too, Lord, they've scheduled you out of their life. And Lord, I thank you that you have sent us into their lives. And so, Lord, I'm praying, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint us. I'm praying that you would give us words to say. Lord, your heart, your love, your compassion for them. Lord, I pray, Lord, even for our people in our own lives, families, for co-workers, Lord, people that are the closest to us. Lord, I pray they would sense your presence through our lives. Lord, that they would know that we have been with Jesus, Lord. And it wouldn't be because we've learned big words, but because we, Lord, carry your love everywhere we go, your grace, your faith. Lord, I pray for a fresh confidence for all of my friends. Lord, this week as they serve you, as they honor you, God, that they would not shrink back. But Lord, they would take action every time that you're calling them to step out, to say something, to do something, to be a part of something. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege and honor it is to have the Holy Spirit in our life. And Lord, that you would give us freely. Not Lord, you wouldn't just give us access to heaven, but you would freely gift us here in this life. Lord, preparing this world for the world to come. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.